Feel weird, man. No Chan.
I know, right? Bro, that top's dead.
It's like a funny way to end the year. We're only three deep. We're missing one. AZ, me, you. No Chan. Welcome to the pivot.
Welcome.
I'm just saying it, man. What's up, Sean?
Good to see
what's
you.
What's up,
man? How you doing?
Yep.
Cool. Good to meet you.
Yep.
And congratulations,
this is how I used to do the Steelers all the time.
Oh,
they
my
They tried to gang
gosh.
Up on me, and I used to split the D.
Didn't you have that record on us? Most yards for the longest time before,
like. Yeah, I still do.
Yeah.
I'm going to have it forever.
Yeah.
That was at Three Rivers?
Three Rivers, yeah.
How many you have?
234. I forget how many carries, but it was crazy.
Yeah.
That's the Hall of Fame numbers, man. Congrats again as well.
Yep.
Being named the finalist.
That's wild.
Are we excited? How do we feel?
I don't know how to process it. Obviously, I've been wanting to get here. Now that I'm here, I'm like, okay. Like Kobe said, job's not done. So it's a lot of work to do, but at least they get an opportunity to hear, you know, the pitch or whatever. The people that were outside of Jacksonville that kind of heard of my career from a distance, now they have an opportunity to really kind of do a deep dive, and everyone can present my case. They get an opportunity to hear the case. So whatever that looks like, I'm thankful. And hopefully they'll hear enough, see enough, you know, so I can get in. But one thing was they talk about the eye test, right? And usually that's weighed upon on your peers. But Jim Brown, who we lost this year, when he said what he said back in the day, I think that kind of checkmarked the eye test category when he said I was his favorite back. And that's kind of been my driver, you know, from that point even to now. Because for me, it's not all that matters, but it carries a lot of weight.
Yeah. Do you know who presents for you, Freddie T? How does that all work?
So each market has a selector to present
who
my
will
case.
Present?
Yeah. Sam Kovaris has been in the Jacksonville market.
Okay.
So each market has a selector. Then you have the national guys, and then there are two other guys. So it's 50 total.
Gotcha.
But each market, so it's 32 per market.
Yeah, that's dope, man. I was fired up, you know, before.
Not 32 per market, my bad, but one per market.
Per team, you have one, so it's 32
Correct.
Teams. I'm fired up for you. I believe that you're a Hall of Famer. I tell you all the time, man, you're one of the best I ever played at any position. And so I know I don't have a vote, but I still feel like when you walk into a room and you ask good football players that played on the other side of the ball what this dude was like, and they all say, yeah, he was one of them ones, I think that should carry a lot of weight. So hopefully, you know, that's what happens, and I hope to be there in August as you give your speech. But we got more running backs, though. More running backs.
Man, I don't know if you was like the first Android, like, in our generation when cats, because this was before YouTube and highlights and when you can see cats, but like seeing you for the first time is when me and people I know was like, damn, we ain't no God make cats like this.
That's
out here doing this, where it's like, I didn't even know that was possible.
Right.
The stuff you was doing, so.
Nah, it's crazy to hear.
Yeah.
I mean, to come from another bag, it's crazy to hear, but people thought I was small, because I was fast. They thought I was small.
Yeah.
But then when the game started, like, I purposely ran through the DB's, the other team DB line. They were like, damn, he big.
Yeah, you know show him.
But,
yeah.
Man, that didn't scare nobody.
Shoot,
man.
You playing. I'm
like,
sure.
Man, we
sure
already knew how big
sure
you were by that
Not
point.
Everybody.
But for sure it did.
You know, the word got out.
Yeah, you see what you got to deal with. That's for real. I'm sure that got to mean something.
Man, nobody worried about that.
I played big, too.
Nah, you was a bad boy, man.
Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling got me up. On the mission got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. Only vision I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling got me up. On the mission got me up. Knowing me, I got the key.
Well, cat's out of the bag now. Rashard Mendenhall is here, guys. This is the last pivot of the year, and this one sort of just came up. Not sure how many people are familiar with Rashard, but he's a first-round draft pick of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Started in the Super Bowl 2010-2011. Finished his career in Arizona. Has gone on to be a writer in Hollywood. A man of immense talents. He used to do pirouettes on the logo in the locker room. We used to mess with him about being a dancer. But he had those sort of feet, too, when he played the game, and you can see that translate to what he did. Recently, Rashard has made news for some tweets. And, you know, we'll get to that, obviously, too, throughout this conversation. I think the first thing I want to ask you is, though, just how are you doing? You know, post-ball, starting a new career, beautiful family as well. How are you doing mentally and emotionally?
For the longest time, I thought I was good, like all the way good. Having that new career, having something else to do and sink into. And it kind of didn't hit me, you know what I'm saying, until some time, just kind of like that space, it seems like a lot of us end up in after ball, where it's kind of like that gray area where you're not feeling like yourself or feeling exactly like yourself. And somebody's saying there's something wrong with that. So like most guys, waited in the water for some time. And you know, external factors, people and things chiming in didn't help much. But at this point, through the journey I've been on, people I have helped, I feel pretty good. I feel like I'm in a really good space. And even the tweet, as you say, was something that it sat on me and weighed on me for a long time. And I feel like that's outside of me now. And I feel like I can even see clearly in my life with not carrying as much weight. So I feel pretty good in the moment.
Our job is to help people, but also, more importantly, I think, to help our brothers. You know, guys that kind of shared the feel and kind of know where we come from, have gone through everything we've gone through. What were some of your triggers after you left the game? What were some of the triggers that sort of allowed you to identify that something's not right? Was it just walking away from a lot of the spotlight? You know, some people like to say the situation of the fumble that happened in the Super Bowl might have been a trigger. And I talked to, I believe it was your girlfriend. She reached
out. My wife.
Sorry. She reached out, you know, and which is love, because she just wants the best for you.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
we do. You know, we have to check in on our people.
And you helped us out at that time, too.
I appreciate
you taking
I'm
that
glad
call.
I was able
and,
to.
Yeah, being there for our household. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. So what were some of your triggers that you were able to identify?
Man, it's like, it don't stop. I'll go out here and say this, man. I don't know if there's a more attacked player in the modern era than me because of a single play from a single game. And the fact that social media exists now, it's just like, we talk about race and things, man. I'm reminded of my color every single day. Feel like I wake up, see my wife, my Lebanese wife, kiss her on the forehead, open my phone to check my business. And I'm being reminded of a moment that, like, like that shit feel like Chinese water torture, just like a little pinging over and over and over again, where it don't make me wanna like curl up in a ball and cry. That shit like it wakes up something else. That's something that, like, when they say to us, like, you are, when they say football is what you do, it's not who you are. I don't know if I believe that. I feel like who and what was made under that helmet, like what we created, I feel like that sticks with you. That animal, that monster, for me, it was a samurai. Like, I feel like that's the only thing that makes sense. And that's the way I sense throughout my life. And so, I don't know, I think it's like, as triggering as things are in this country anyway, man, it's like, there's this element of like, cause it's not the play, man. I played a million plays, like bumped a play. I did the best I could. I let go of the play. It's how I've been treated and what's happened since that I don't feel like it's fair. I finally like had enough.
So really, say you're reminded of it, is it people tweeting you, people messaging you? Who's reminding you of it?
It's under my name. Like in life now, in Google, like your brand, your name is your business. And to my name, whatever hashtags, whatever stuff that's associated, I gotta check my business. It's just like I'm seeing the same word, like fumble. Do you know what I'm saying? Or even people mentioning me. That's why I said comments in the thing. I know it's just like, all right, this ain't no joke, man. This ain't about the football. When somebody's saying like fumble to me, I know they're intentionally trying to hurt me. They're intentionally trying to pick at me or pry. And so if somebody say fumble, like, all right, I'm like automatically ready to fight. The fuck are you talking about? Mm-hmm. What are we talking about this for? We left that game and it's supposed to be over. But if it's not, all right, I got to live in this. So, like, I find that 12 years later, I might have a little attitude about it.
Right. When you say it's supposed to be over, the truth is it only matters if it's over for us, right? Because there are people who live, and you played in Pittsburgh with me, yeah. Right? Like, I know what it is. I know what it is, good and bad,
yeah.
Right? Like, every year, at some point, they're going to put out a highlight of my tackles or whatever. Like, that's going to be part of it. And then there are going to be Baltimore fans that if I say something about Baltimore, they're going to show the play where Joe Flacco beat me over the top to Torrey Smith, yeah, to win the game.
Yeah.
I think, like those things are, they're part of our resume. They live forever. People are never going to let that go because people are immature. People are miserable. People don't have their own moment, whether negative or positive, that the world shares in. We do. That's the privilege, yeah, of, yeah, doing what we do.
Yeah.
So for you, have you been able to let the play go?
First thing I thought is go where if I'm seeing it in front of me? Like, I don't know, man. I put my life into the game, and, like, mm-hmm, that shit really means that much to me. Mm-hmm. Like, the way I approached that game, the way I went out there.
He played well,
I did
too.
I appreciate that.
Played well.
And honestly, well, in my mind, in my life, in my body, that's the best game I ever played in my life, seriously. I didn't take a single false step that entire day. Mm-hmm. That's what I know. That's what I needed to be on that day, and I was. That's what I keep in my mind, in my body, in my psyche. To talk about a play, deal with a play, I can accept a play. This idea that I'm the cause, mm-hmm, I'm the reason, like, I lost the ball, yeah, of course. Did I lose the game for my team? I lost the 7th trophy for the Steelers. Like, that's what doesn't sit right and well. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, a small group of people who's almost made it a point to never let me live that down, mm-hmm, who try and beat me over the head to be like, you lost the 7th fucking trophy for the Steelers. And for me, like, a team wins, a team loses a game. To single me out and say, I lost that, okay, whatever. On what day do you think I'm gonna wake up and believe that I lost the trophy for my team? And it's pressing me and it's got me sitting here, it's like, all right, motherfucking guy y'all looking for, I feel like he's right next to me. We're not gonna say that. I feel like he's right next to me in another position, but we're not gonna say that. I'm not even gonna throw it to him because it's like, it's not about a single player, it's about a whole team. But if we wanna make me wear that and gonna press me on that, that shit's created something that, like, I've never even seen before in and out of myself. Because if I can't get around, if I can't shake it, I've had success in other areas. Like,
yeah,
the first time out when I was to write a script for HBO for Ballers, I wrote 30 pages in 4 days with, like, late notes and just killed that shit the whole time. All this stuff, don't none of that matter. Shut up, you still the boy that fumbled. And, like, that, I don't know, man, maybe I still carry a sword on my back about it.
I think it's two themes that jumps out of my mind. One is disconnect, which is, for a lot of reasons, the reason why we're here today, because you won't put Twitter down. Sometimes we have to disconnect, and that'll sort of minimize, you know, those reminders from the negative side of, or the negative group.
Yeah.
The other theme is a team. You keep speaking about team, you know, being in that locker room, the guys who were there practicing with you, the guys who, before the game, you know, they envisioned their dream of winning, you know, success. Not one of those guys, I'm pretty sure, if you can look at how the game played out, and as a casual fan, the way I saw it, and then I had to go back and sort of review it myself again here prior to this interview. Just being a casual fan, you can look at and say the entire team lost that game. Sure, your fumble
isn't
came.
Isn't that football? Isn't that football?
That's football, that's sport. Your fumble came after you guys started to show momentum. I believe it was 21-17, which was the closest you had gotten. Prior to that, you were battling from behind the entire game. 21 points off turnovers is the reason you guys lost that game, not just your turnover. The defense gave up some big plays that I'm sure they would like to get back. You gave up 38-yarder, 20-something.
Now we gave up plays.
So, I mean, but that's the sport. That's the sport. I think you have to remind yourself of even if you go back and watch the game, but remind yourself that one, it's a team sport. You know, you guys went to war together. You lost together. As simple as that.
But see, that's not what it feels like. It feels like we lost. This is just a feeling. I don't know, whatever silo I'm in,
I can't
whatever,
speak for you, I'm where, sorry.
No, you're good, you're perfect. Whatever silo, it feels like we all lost, but I'm the only nigga that's still in Dallas Stadium having to, like, cause I'm like, it ain't, I know this too, it's a professional game, we sign a contract, we go, it ain't nobody else's responsibility, it's not your responsibility, it's not Will's responsibility, anybody to stand up and say, hey man, Rashard didn't do this on his own. Like, we all went out there and played. It's not nobody's responsibility to do that, but at the same time, I'm like, damn, where's that at? Like, cause I don't know how much you guys know or are seeing, and it's just like, this even feels like weak to say, like you talk about bullying and attacks and all this, that'll mess with somebody over time. It's like, imagine if like Lizzo's at a concert and she's on stage and there's all these people in the crowd. And she gets up on the stage and somebody on the stage yells the most wild outlandish, it's like, get off the stage, you fat B word. Mm. Everybody in there is like, whoa, like, yo, calm down. Like, that's clearly, obviously wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm like, where's that screen? Where's that coat? Where's that protection? That's what my shit looked like on any given day. And I'm not even sitting here because I'm like, nigga, I'm not trying to play about it. I'm like ready to do something about it. Like, I'll crash my car over this shit, man, with my fucking wife and kids in there. Got out the car, looked at her, like, did I fumble? No, I had the fucking wheel still. Like, for whatever reason, there's a ticker, there's a play that, like, okay, if I can't see my way out of, then I'll write my way through. That's why I wrote that tweet. Mm-hmm. Like, then I'll write my way through, because what am I, like, what am I really saying? Like,
but in that tweet, what were you saying? Because there's an opportunity there if those are the people you're talking to. Because I don't know what you're dealing with, right? If I'm at that concert and somebody yells that out to Lizzo, then I'm able to hear that person. I don't check your Twitter every day. I don't look at your mentions. And so there's not an opportunity for us to come to your aid, right? And, you know, I can be like, we don't speak, you know? So I'm not knowing that you're going through things. Freddie T mentioned that to me. I reached out to Kerry Davis, who's also one of our teammates, you know, but you're not necessarily knowing that you're going through it or what is the trigger.
I feel like it's
catalyst of it, you know? Yeah. So for you, when you start to pin the tweet, why isn't the tweet about that particular situation and the way that people are attacking you about that particular situation? Because it was the broadness of your tweet that I believe drew a certain ire to what you said. Yeah. And then this point, which we hope to get out on this show, was totally missed.
That wasn't meant for everybody. It went there, and I wasn't tripping on that. That was meant for my detractors. Like, the amount of disrespect, it was meant for that. Before I keep going, this is from me to you. This was a few years ago. You were on a talk show. This was probably like 2017. And you said something that, like, it seemed like it was in the cause and course of the show that had an effect that greater than I think you may have realized, because I'm in the center of this, where you were in an argument about the Steelers in that game, and you said, we know what happened. Mendenhall lost the game, and you kept going. Mendenhall fumbled the ball, and he lost the game. Something along those lines, and you kept going. And it's like, I know you on there, and you doing TV and playing TV, but it felt like you saying that had a real football ramification, because before then, there was just fans and people being like, oh, you know, he did that, but then they started saying, even his teammates believed that he lost the game, and that shit ratcheted up, and like, We ain't never had no problems for real, but that's the one thing I had to bring today because I carried that. And I watched the turn from people starting to say even his teammates believe that he lost the game. And your comment was a way to.
Well, I'll say this. I certainly believe that's a part of why we lost the game. I don't believe that one play loses the game. I believe that if I catch the interception that I planned for 2 weeks when Greg Jennings scores a touchdown that helps us win the game. Yeah. I believe if I lock Keenan Lewis on the backside when Greg Jennings catches the ball on third down, that we win the game. So yeah. There are definitely other there are plays in that game that I replay all the time that yeah. I've used as film and as assets yeah. for my show Inside the NFL. So, yeah. But I will say this, if it had that effect on you, I don't remember the moment, yeah. but if it had that effect on you, I'm sorry. And especially if it had that effect where people continued to attack you. And like in honesty, from a defensive perspective, do I feel like at that point, with the way you were playing the game, with the way the defense was playing the game, if we don't fumble there, we win? Absolutely. I do mm-hmm. feel that way. Mm-hmm. I could look you in your eye and say that one play didn't lose the game. Most times one play does not lose the game. So I do apologize yeah. how that affected you. And especially if what I said made other people treat you a certain way. Because like, that's definitely not something I want to do. So I do apologize.
I appreciate you apologizing. Yeah. And I appreciate what you said, for real. And it's, you know, that's just a blip on your radar mm-hmm. that made the news tighter. Like,
gotcha.
For real. Damn. And for me, it's just like, how many times I'm gonna wake up and take this? Like, I wasn't born no hoe. Like, how many times I'm gonna wake up and just anybody playing with me? So that's why I said, I'm sick of, and it was descriptive.
Average
white guys. Mm-hmm. That's what it seems to be.
It wasn't like, directed at a player, at an average
white
player.
No. It's just the amount of disrespect I see, and I got descriptive of who I tend to see it from. Average white guys commenting, like reflecting the comment section on not football, but my career. Mm. My career, what it was. Like, I got two sons, man. They gonna grow up in a world where wear number 34 jersey and people saying, your dad was sorry, your dad sucked, he lost it. It's like, no, man. At the least in real football, like, I had a good career. I played a good game, and that was a moment. I had a good career, really good career. And over the span of my life, I had a great career in football. Mm-hmm. Not just the NFL. When I was a shorty, I used to go visit my cousin on the South Side, and you know, the older cats be like, oh, the shorty's here, man, go get the football. Let's roll that thing out. The whole way through, I was cold. Commenting on football. And this is the part where it was wide and I was vague. I said, y'all not even good at football. I'm still speaking to who I'm talking to. Those average guys who don't play the game, y'all not even good at football. Like, how you speak to me, and I've been excellent throughout my career and throughout my life, even through that moment, even through the fumble, even through Arizona to when I stopped. Y'all not even good at football. And the next line, before there's even that retort, it's like, for all the race I see, if black players reign supreme in this game, then maybe, please, would I get you to stop saying shit to me? Is that enough for you to stop talking to me? To stop commenting at me, and at the end of it, I'm better than your GOAT. The only thing I'm saying is, whoever you envision as the best player, greatest player in the game, I'm that good. I'm not just talking about the NFL, I'm talking about through my whole life. I'm talking about through high school, through college. Whoever, I've given that much to football, and I'm not just talking about the NFL. No, you say your GOAT is Freddie T. I'm like, damn.
It's an individual thought, an individual thing.
That was almost like trolling crazy. Like that was tweet intended to like smash my detractors, and it was a lot. Why, come on, I'm like, dude, I'm silly. I'm not dumb enough to say white people aren't good at football. That's obvious. Like, but I was fucking like on a level enough to be like, all right, if we reign supreme, would that be enough for you to leave me the fuck alone? That's what I'm saying.
If it came from the other side, or if it came from a white player in that same, you know, format, then we or our people would naturally say, oh, that is highly racist, right?
So, okay.
And even within
that, I don't think
that
would work.
I mean, I just want to, okay, that's you, just you gotta, my you gotta, opinion.
Most definitely.
Even within that, even with your detractors or the people that attacked you, there are also a certain population of black people in there too that probably feel that type of way, because last I checked, there's still a fan base. Mm-hmm. They're so supportive, one of the best fan bases in all the sports, in my opinion. But I'm talking about white, black, other, you know? So yeah. I'm pretty sure they've come to your page. What I want you to do is just disconnect completely from fucking Twitter. Not that you're running from your life either. You have to learn how to just learn to avoid certain things that are gonna rile you up and then take yourself to better places. But my question to you really is this, being that you're a writer, and how do you envision that segregation mold?
It's done.
Connor McDavid, it's not real!
The goal of the year,
Panarin!
Part of the past, the celebrations, forgotten. The history,
Vegas Golden Knights.
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate, clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Like this that was when I saw the tweet when RC sent it over, uh-huh. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, I never really envisioned it. Like that's literally just a figment of a writing imagination to be like, I wasn't even envisioning a game actually. I didn't until like people started making the teams and I'm like, oh shit. And I'm like, damn, that's kind of messed up because it's the segregation bowl. It's the racial bowl. It's messed up. So I didn't even envision a game. I was only envisioning the same person that keeps speaking at me that I'm like, what will it take to make you stop? Like, what will it take to make you stop? If like, all right, if the black team beat y'all dead, could you at least stop adding me and tweeting me and saying I'm sorry, I'm trash? Can I then be on the winning team? Then can I be on the winning team?
The fumble still would be there.
It's like just this feeling, the fumble is cool. I'm cool with that. It's just like this idea that I'm an entire loser because of it. That's what
But we lose when we let them win. And that means whether it's me, whether it's the average white guy who's tweeting you because he's sitting at his house or he's sitting at his desk or he's sitting with his wife or wherever he is, and he's not catching the vitriol you're catching for that tweet. I know you, right?
Yeah.
I know your wife,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I know that this man that's speaking is not racist.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I also know in reading that tweet, it's a racist tweet. Mm-hmm. Right?
I don't know if it's racist.
Racist, right? Racism is believing that you are inferior to another race based on your skin color. Your tweet was the skin color of the more superior athlete is mm-hmm. darker. Right.
Okay.
So in a sense, it was like it wasn't discrimination that you can't go. It wasn't the racism we see in America where white people who hold certain positions because of the generational, the history of racism that have put them there.
Yeah.
Right. That keep us with a glass ceiling. I'm not talking about that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
just from the simple, mundane, everyday thing I have to fight against in the sense of like, no, if a white player said that.
Yeah.
I would get after him. I would, right?
Yeah.
But it's the history of oppression. In the same way, I talked to Chris Long about it, obviously Will Compton.
Yeah.
None of them had that attachment to it because they understood the history of this country. But from you, in saying it that way, I felt like it did detract from what your point is now, right? And then what I hated the most about it, but was probably the good thing, it turned it into a joke, and I don't want you to be a joke. Right. And so when you are trying to address the people who are saying these things to you, what is going to be your route of finding a way to not let that affect you? Because it's not going to stop, especially now. Right. Now that you've put the tweet out and I know, and if this is what my life has been anyway, and I know I'm winning, now I'm coming harder. I'm coming with more, and it's going to get more racial. Because you brought in the race.
Man, if you, like my messages, my mentions still haven't stopped.
I know.
From then. And the thing is, it's like, the difference is, it's like, I've been getting this before I sent that tweet out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing it and it's like, man, I'm only thinking of seeing Tupac's, man, Thug Life. The hate you gave little infants fucks everybody. It's like, I'm seeing the same thing sent my way that caused the tweet. I'm seeing the same thing over and over. It's like they say, like, I don't even, like, they say hurt people. It's just like, it ain't never mattered.
Did you think it was gonna stop after the tweet though, Rashard?
Oh, no. Here's the crazy part, and here's the dope part. It ended for me because I said some shit. It's been outside of me since then, man. I've been walking around doing the day. I'm chilling. That came out of me because I felt like I was quiet for the longest time and took whatever came. And I'm just like, how somebody in the stands, on a couch, wherever they at, get to suppress, believe they better than me because I went out there and did my best in a damn football game. Ain't that what sports about? I went out there and did my best. I went out there and did my best, my absolute best. And somebody can sit back and say they are superior to me because I did my best. Man, that ain't never sat right. And it felt like an imbalance or a slant. I said that, and I couldn't even see any people. I wasn't writing to anybody. This was me and myself. I said that for myself. And it's like, and it came and it went out and it had an effect. Like, and I don't feel like I gotta say anything.
I will say this.
Anymore.
It's 100% worth it then. If sending that tweet freed you, it is 100% worth it. And you know, when—
That's major.
No, when you—
That's major.
Bro, like, I think, like, the freedom of self is the greatest freedom in the world. Because as free as they say this country is, it's not. We aren't always, and not even from the legalities, not even from the racism or the discrimination. It's just the freedom to be yourself, right? The freedom to live and not be judged,
yeah.
Right? Like, that's the existence we all walk in, bro. And so if sending that tweet, no matter what came from it, no matter what the conversations are around it, even if it doesn't stop people from messaging you, if you could wake up in the morning and the first thing be not be in your mind, I fumbled, that's all the freedom you need. Because you need a freedom to be better for your wife. You need a freedom to be better for your three kids. You need a freedom to be better for your boys, right? Like, you need a freedom to be able to move around in a space where you can be your best self. Because unfortunately, man, those people send that tweet, Sharp, and they don't think about us afterwards. Right? Mm-hmm. They don't care how it affects you. Mm-hmm. They don't care. They don't think to themselves, I wonder what his day's like now. You know what they do?
Yeah.
They go live with their family.
Yeah.
Right? They go make their wife happy. They go make their kids happy. And so, bro, if that freed you, man, I am so, so happy for you. And I am so, so sorry that I added to that. Because I never meant that.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And I wish you to call me then.
No, I appreciate that.
Because, like, that, man, we all have— if we were all judged by our toughest moments, like, none of us would be successes. Mm. You know, and what I said about you when it started, dog, your feet, man, you were as talented of a back that we ever had on that team. And I was there 8 years. And so the fact that that's what you remember, man, and what you take with you, bro, I am really, like, I truly, truly, truly am sorry. And I wish you would have reached out, or wish somebody would have told me, because the one thing I never have a problem with is saying I'm wrong. And if I did that to you and you felt that, I was wrong.
We had Coach Tumlin on the show, and I asked him, I'm like, yo, I was looking for a phone call from the Steelers when I was a free agent, which was that season.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I didn't get that call because they had a good running back that they felt they can depend on.
Yeah.
You know, and again, just going back, replaying that game, you had an amazing game. You have to be careful creating certain narratives in your mind, considering how much of a good writer you've been and that you are. You're a very creative person, so you have to kind of caution yourself with, you know, how you kind of write those things upstairs. But I want to go to post-tweet. You made an apology where you said you didn't mean to or you didn't intend to
towards our guys, towards
or
our lesson
white football players.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And then you came back and said, but in all honesty, they know that.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you, in your apology, like, what did you really intend? Because it seems that you sort of moved the goalpost when you added the but. They know that.
You.
Because I don't
you.
Think they did. Or they do.
I feel you. So I tip my cat salute to all my football brothers, every color, every creed, whatever the case. This wasn't about them. I think this is a case where, because of what happened to me personally, like, I became selfish in the way I used the game. And even my brothers, and even you, was just like, all right, am I that good to be the all-white team? No, I'm not. You better than me. You're better than me. Like, I needed you. I needed you. I needed DK Metcalf. I needed everybody just to help me stop what was tormenting me. And I believe that was selfish. So it's like, it wasn't meant to racially lessen that worth. I did use my brothers, black and white, as pawns in an issue that was mine and my own. And even what you said in the tweet, like, nobody asked you. It's like, you know what, that's right. That wasn't fair for me. I got prerogative to speak, but it wasn't fair for me to bring everybody in the game in, because that game means something so natural, so real, and so pure. And what was happening off the field allowed me to mix the two, and that's wrong. Because I'm like, man, hell, I said, of course they know that. Because I'm like, if you know me, ain't no damn way I'm watching Remember the Titans. And to see what that fucking film did, see what that film did and leave there and want to go back to that. Oh, yeah, let's be how they was before. Like, who want to do that? Of course I don't. But, like it was selfish. It was selfish for me to bring all the players in, black and white, like, to be, like, to prove a point that, like, I don't really know. I don't know if it made things better or worse.
Yeah, you know, but,
yeah.
I routinely stand up for us publicly.
Yeah.
You know, and I've done it so much, whether it be through 2020, Kaepernick's protest, whatever it is, it's like from the other side I get, oh, you're a racist. Yeah. But I'm always like, no, I want fairness. I want equality. And the perspective I understand more than anything is our perspective. Yeah. I said, so yeah. I try to bring that sort of awareness to the forefront. And then obviously when this starts, I can be honest, like, I was nervous when people were even trying to joke with me about it, because yeah, I have my opinions, and we did it on our last show with Three Men, but I was like, if I get in on this, or if I start in on a joke, well, people then turn it on me and say, okay, now you're being racist, or now you're being dismissive for things that are true, right? Yeah. Like JJ Watt can say it. Yeah, none of them could cover Tyreek. He could say it and he could make that joke, but it's different coming from me. Sure. And that was why, and even though, like, when Will tweeted me, like, I was like, okay, if this was a white man who made this tweet, I would have something to say. But even in that, I couldn't, at least publicly in that form, until being able to be in front of you, I wasn't going to make you a racist, right? Because I understood if I say that, now everybody else jumps on that. So I just said it was unnecessarily divisive.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, which it was.
Yeah, yeah.
When you talk about it. But it's also like, there is, like, for me, there's a certain debt owed, in a certain sense of loyalty that I have to all of us. And that's all of our football brothers, but definitely us personally. Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that for you, man, to come down and sit with us and clear those things up, that was important. And when Kerry reached out to me, I was like, absolutely, I'll get in touch with him and call him, because I wanted to give you this space. But we also want to use you. We're about to use you now, right? We're about to use you.
Whatever happened with these promos, and it's not my responsibility, I don't know who's responsible. Hopefully get chopped up, or either people just watch.
Yeah, they'll watch
the entire episode so they can hear, you know, pretty much go over your intentions and what you really meant about your tweet. But much like RC was probably gonna say, we've had some stuff follow us. So I believe he's gonna use you in that fashion.
Yeah, so, okay. You know.
If I can help,
you came out and you said that, and now you've had these moments where people continue to keep your name involved in those tweets, in those messages. Yeah. Recently, Freddie T was being messy. Right?
What? So I said, don't let.
So, okay, I was being what I thought was funny.
Instigation song.
What I thought was funny. So we had Jonathan Owens, Simone Biles on the show. Yeah. Jonathan Owens, safety for the Packer. He's married to Simone Biles.
Most of.
Channing asked him about their origin story. The origin story was on a dating app, and she reached out to him first. He says he didn't know who she was. I made a face because I was like, well, Simone Biles, everybody knows who she is. But anyway, it goes on. We have a great moment. That was fun. Yeah. And when we made that a promo, we made it a promo because we thought it was fun. We thought people would look at the way she looked at him and smiled, and the way he looked at her, and then realize, as you watch the rest of the show, how this man says this woman has poured into his entire life. And people would be like, this is just love, right?
Yeah,
she could flip. he could play football. They don't care about that because they love each other, right? Sure. They get to see the ugly of each other. They get to see the worst and learn to love that. And so we thought it was this cool moment. And, you know, we have been part of what they said is tearing a woman down or not lifting her up. So when you think about relationships and you think those two and him saying, we joked, he's like, wow, the men always the catch.
Yeah.
How do you see the way that celebrities are judged on their personal life or how people attack celebrities on their personal life or their words the way you are in a situation like that?
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Man, the way you explained that was great. It seems like such a reach. I can't even, because I'm not a part of that moment, other than what you said. I can't even take like how, or grasp how, if they're vibing and they're talking about their origin and the moment in real time was felt as love and it's funny and it's that, it just feels like a reach for that to be anything else outside of people being like tearing down women, like as this man's right next to his lady. And if she don't feel like that, I don't understand how that's the case or that's a reality. And I know the internet does that. That just seems like a reach or a projection based off something. There could be people out there tearing women down. That's probably true. Does that sound like one of those scenarios? No, it doesn't.
I think aside from that, because we certainly don't tear women down.
No,
we always speak life into to women. Much like you guys are speaking to your love story, still is a love story. We were talking about Simone and Jonathan's love story, and they sort of talked about their origin and laid everything out, which they had already done before.
But
people are so fixated on celebrity that they value and weigh their lives on celebrity.
For sure.
If Jonathan was equally as popular.
Equally as successful.
Yeah, but then you have to go back and weigh success. Because in his eyes, he might feel like he's as successful because he's achieved. He was undrafted.
For sure.
He went to a very small college, and now he's playing safety for the Green Bay Packers, right?
Yeah.
And then Simone, everyone knows what Simone does.
Of course.
Certainly from 2016 to now, they know what she's done.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have jumped on that bandwagon because of it. She's a woman, it's encouraging. She had gone through you know, her mental health challenges and she bounced back from that. And she's the greatest of the greatest and always have and probably always will be considered the greatest. It shouldn't minimize Jonathan and how he feels about his wife or how he tells the story or how he jokingly talks about how they met and him being the catch. I doubt he really feels that he was the catch, like, oh, she chased me down. I don't think that's the case. But she was there, and they jokingly have said it before, how they met, how she slid in the DM, how everything's come to fruition. But you have people that shouldn't even be vested in their relationship.
Because
one, they're public figures,
of course.
And she is way up here in a lot of people's eyes, and he isn't. But again, it shouldn't minimize who he is as a person, because one, he loves his lady, his wife. That's all that people should identify for as and should commend him. But to talk about divorcing now and make sure the prenup is handy and all that stuff, it, for me, it was a bit insensitive, you know, and I think I saw one word in the comments, probably overkill. They kept saying, this is so cringe. This is cringe, cringe, cringe. Like, I don't want to see the word no more because I was out there kind of a little bit like you in defense mode. Because I didn't feel like he deserved that. Because the man genuinely loved his wife. We didn't even expect her to be there.
Especially,
you know,
from the
moment. Did an interview with him. That it was with him. The timing was perfect. They were playing the Giants on a Monday night. And they had already set it up. It had nothing to do with Simone. Although we would love to have that interview at some point someday. But again, it was all totally about J.O. That kind of went left.
I think the thing for me was I reached out to Jonathan because I felt a synergy with him. He was an undrafted free agent safety. I was an undrafted free agent safety. We were both, we had both been cut. And I watched him play on Thanksgiving, and it just reminded me of myself. And they kept calling, saying that he was undrafted, but also saying who he was married to. Okay. And so I reached out to him because I even tweeted that day. I said, eventually they're going to just start calling him Jonathan Owens.
Yeah.
And I reached out for that reason. When she showed up, none of us knew because we're thinking road trip, right? And most times on road trips, the guys are by themselves and we expected him to come, but their relationship is that tight that that's the way they roll. Mm-hmm. The thing, I will say this about Jonathan and Simone. I was disappointed in me because I don't like to be misunderstood. I don't like to make other people be misunderstood. My intentions were to have a fun, loving moment because she was there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because she's there, because she could speak for herself, because she can interact, because we can all interact, it felt like being at a family reunion, bro, and talking to your little nephew and to your little niece about how they met.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the vibe of it. And to me, it was the beauty of it didn't matter who they were. I think people look at celebrities and forget that they're just human. Her immense talent as a gymnast doesn't make her someone that's not flesh and bone. Sure. His ability to play ball and maybe not be at the level that she is in doesn't lessen his value as a man, especially to her.
Sure.
And in the end...
And they may be really sensitive to that. Even yes. in knowing that, what she does and what he does, and kind of him being lessened through that. So it seems like she can even maybe let him have a little bit more of the shine to kind of balance that out if you're in a relationship.
And I think, though, that's what, especially, you know, obviously black women are the most devalued gender and humans in America. They really are. And so I think when you do have a Simone Biles, it's like having a Beyonce, having a Serena. It's like, oh, in this in particular, we're the best of the best,
yeah.
And it can't be denied. And it should be valued by everybody that way. But he's not marrying a gymnast. He's marrying Simone Biles. And that's who he supported in 2020 when all of us or when all those people were talking about why she would back out. He was on the phone with her.
Mm-hmm.
He spent time with her. And so I think just for me, it was like when Fred Taylor, who's one of the best running backs of all time, picks his wife, nobody asks what she does. Nobody says, well, the woman Fred married, who is highly successful, nobody asked, though, how many touchdowns has she scored? Or is she as good at her job as Fred is at his job?
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, because this black woman is so accomplished, we now have to compare her to her husband. We got to make that a competition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the sad part about it. Fellas, this is the best time of year. It's time to go bowling. But you can't go bowling without our partners over at DraftKings. Any new customer signing up right now on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use the promo code PIVOT, place a $5 bet, and get $150 in bonus bets instantly.
And watching these bowls, now think about it. Now, you've seen your team all season. You know who's going to ball, who's not going to ball. You know
what about the new guys, though, Chan?
I don't know about them new guys, but you know what I do? I know about them same game parlays. The same game parlays I've been playing all year. Multiple bets in the same game. You had weeks to do your research, man. This bowl week.
That's right. Listen, what are you guys waiting on? We've been a DK partner for a year and a half. We keep telling y'all, download the app, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Go get to it.
New customers, promo code adjust. You place a $5 bet, instantly get $150 in bonus bets.
Question, 2023. Because this sort of traveled with that. And it was a joke. Can men be the catch?
Mm.
And also, taken away from tradition, can women pursue men? Like, should they pursue men? In which what Simone says she actually did in their situation.
Yeah. So in their situation, if that, because even before, I've only known a little bit about their story from before they were on the pivot. But I've always kind of had that idea or understanding that she was in pursuit of him. And I just kind of always felt like that was some like a dog in her. Do you know what I'm saying? Not like in a bad way, just like oh, okay, she knows what she wants. Like she's, relationships can happen all different types of ways. And we're hearing a story, seeing a story of the way it happened for them. And it may be a little bit different. And I feel like, however that love is met, however that match is found, like, how could you get mad at the fact that they match? How can you get mad at the fact that they vibe based independent off of how it happened or somebody thinking it should have happened different or with him believing or just like anybody should that he's a catch because of what he means to himself, that she's a catch as well because of who she is And I feel like anybody can feel like that, men being a catch or women being a catch.
I think if you're on a dating app, that's how you're operating. You're trying to catch something.
I don't know if that answered the question.
Yeah.
but I feel like, no, I feel like their story is dope, and I don't even know how that can be taken out. That just seems like you say, with celebrities and people obsession with celebrities, it seems like sometimes or oftentimes celebrities become like a canvas for people's projections on what they feel, experience that they had, things that they think, and they just apply it to whatever situation that they can see that mirrors in any way a little fraction of something else that they've seen, and they say, okay, I've identified this, I've diagnosed this, this is what this is.
Celebrities become a source of entertainment. Exactly. At all times.
Exactly.
You are meant for my entertainment, which means you should be pawns in the way that I believe this story should be told.
What's that?
And if that story is told a different way from my expectations, now my personal story weighs into my criticism of that.
Yep.
The personal story of how I feel about you or how I feel about you and the way I feel like this should go now becomes my criticism of how you live your life. When instead of looking internally and saying, what about me makes me, one, so invested in this, and two, makes me feel so emotionally wronged by something that has nothing to do with me?
Yeah.
Why is it cringeworthy to you? Yeah. Why is it disrespectful to you? Why is it any of these things when clearly it's not to her? And then as far as to project, well, you don't know what's going on in their house. Neither do you.
For sure.
What I do know is I spent 2 hours with them and I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, moving on to what I want to talk about as well is Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is now the backup quarterback for the Denver Broncos. This is 2 years after signing a $258 million contract, 2 years after the Broncos trading away picks in order to get him, a year into, or the first year of Sean Payton's tenure as head coach. And the speculation is he will also be released in May. When you look at Russ's situations, Fred, what are your thoughts on how the season has gone for him, or how this time in Denver has gone for him, and now seeing him being benched and possibly let go in March?
It comes across as if he's on board to be the scapegoat. Russ started playing really good ball. I think they're 6-3 in their last 9 games. You question would they have made this move if they had not lost to the Patriots, right? And I don't know the answer to that, but they lost and it seemed perfect timing for them. But then a lot of other stuff became uncovered. You know, and this is a guy who has won Super Bowl. You know, he's been the face of the league for a while. I know before this season started, people were saying Russ was done. But he had actually shown some glimpses of old Russell Wilson and pretty much carried this team. I think management, you got to question Denver's management. I think Sean Payton is, the amount of money they pay him, he has not a lot of decisions to make, but I think his decisions carry all the weight in that building.
Yeah.
I don't know about the football ops people in there, but his decisions top down, based on what he's done in his career and what they expect him to get back to, what he's saying is Russ is completely done. He's not in our, we don't project him in our future. He's done. But again, I think he's the scapegoat. I think they're still on the books and they owe him a ton of money. It's wrong. If I can sum it up in one word, I think it's wrong. Because he was playing lights out. Who are you going to find to replace him? And he's still on the books, you know, to receive that compensation, those salaries.
Especially at this point in the season, seeing that interview from Jerry Jeudy saying that the locker room was surprised. That kind of really jumped out to me that they weren't anticipating or expecting that. So in their mind, that was still their guy. Think about the fact that they're third in the division and still got, like, hopes, like playoff hopes. I'm not, like, when it comes to the quarterback position, making a change like this late, like you say, like he may be lining up to be their scapegoat. And something that I seen that came from RG3, where if Russ wasn't his guy anyway from the beginning, is Jarrett Stidham, is that their like long-term plan for the future? Is that the guy they want to go with? Or is this to make a point before the year is out that Russ was never his guy? But seeing a scenario situation, I feel like the next few games will. I feel like there's going to be a microscope on Denver seeing these next few games to see, you know, whether that move was warranted or not. And even seeing the press conferences where Sean Payton is making that call, he don't seem to, like, I don't know if I want to say sure or confident about the about, you know what I'm saying, about what he's saying to Jordan, and maybe know there's some kind of feeling in that locker room, but maybe this isn't the right thing to do.
Bottom line is it, man, like, Sean Payton has been a bully ever since receiving this job. And not the bully since, like, Russ can't whip him, because I believe he can. Sean Payton's an old man. But we watched Russell Wilson get beat down an entire season. Mm-hmm. And some of the criticism was warranted because he didn't play well. And then Sean Payton immediately came in and started punching down on him. And now, for whatever you've heard about Russ having offices, Russ having coaches, his own personal coaches in the locker room last year, that's not who he's been this year. When he was asked to do something different, he did something different. And now this is a man before going to Denver that was going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, right? Russ had been to 9 Pro Bowls already. Russ had won a Super Bowl. We were talking about Russ as one of the greatest of this era. And so now when you deal with Sean Payton, that was never his dude. When you look at the way Sean Payton addressed Russell Wilson on the sideline against the Detroit Lions, he never talked to Drew Brees like that, whether Drew Brees threw no picks or 2 picks. He never handled him in the public like that. You never heard of that man telling Drew Brees, you got to stop kissing babies. Drew Brees kissed more babies in New Orleans than anybody. Now, did he play well? Absolutely. But you look at the way Russell Wilson, to me, this shows the ultimate class, humility, and professionalism from Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. That man knew 2 months ago he was playing for his job. They called him and told him and spoke to his representation and wanted him to restructure his contract. So he knew if he didn't play well, this was what was going to happen. And that man never said a word. That man went out there and gave his everything to this team. He changed the way he played football. He got slimmer. He ran the football when he needed to. He made the big throws when he needed to. Now, I don't think he played great, but I do think he played better, and I think he deserves, or thought he deserved, to be treated better. This man publicly berated him. He berated him on the sidelines, treated him like trash, and you know as well as I know, starting quarterbacks who can't play don't get treated like that. At every turn, Sean Payton let the entire world know that this wasn't his guy. And that's okay if he's not. But you don't have to punch down on him just because you want to prove a point. You want to get away from the money being guaranteed in 2025? Fine. Do that. But I think there's a professional way to go about that. And the true professional in this situation was always Russell Wilson. I have zero respect for Sean Payton and the way he goes about his business. The one Super Bowl you won, the one Super Bowl you've been to, right? And the rest of the losing seasons you had in New Orleans, those don't allow you to treat people like that.
Correct.
He just lucky he had the right one, because somebody else would have checked him on it and at least gonna say, you're gonna respect me and treat me in the way I deserve, in the way I've earned, the way I respect and treat you in the way you earn. And so, like, I think it is total bullcrap the way Sean Payton behaved, but I thought it was bullcrap the entire time.
I mean, they're trying to get out of that bad move they made, and not necessarily a bad move in the sense that Russ didn't necessarily live up to that deal. They made the move. They gave away the organization, and now it's going to haunt them for years. I don't think they're going to have the cap space to maneuver much, because he's still on the books. You let him go, he's not there, he's still on the books.
For sure.
So it's just, you know, it's top down. You know, you got to check the front office on that.
Fred T, Cam text you, be on this show?
I don't know if he texts AZ or you or somebody.
He texts you to be on the show?
Listen.
Debo say, stop texting me, man.
I saw Cam respond on Twitter.
That wasn't Cam.
That was AI?
It was, supposedly, it was some kids who got Debo's number and were just playing on his phone.
Oh, I thought you were saying that wasn't Cam that responded.
No, that wasn't.
AI is too good.
Nah, it wasn't Cam that texted him. But you know what's so funny about where we are? Debo addressed Michael Parsons, and he also addressed Cam Newton.
Right.
We live in a I got you world that's full of people who are getting got. They want to be so quick and you want to be so fast to respond and you want to make sure you say what you got to say before someone else says what they have to say, and you want to defend yourself and defend your people and do all these things. And sometimes we haven't sat back and gathered the information. And so then when you then open your mouth and now the entire world can see into what you're living in because you want them to, because you think you're winning,
right?
Then you realize, hold on, maybe I jumped out there a little too quick. And it's like, everybody now has a voice. Like, we live in that world. We didn't play in that world. Mm-hmm. No. We didn't have voices, right? Like, the people that's gonna be trying to get you into the Hall of Fame, those were your voices, those were our voices. And so now that that has changed, I think we all need to take a step back, because we've become, and me included, we've become drunk off of the power to write our own narratives.
Mm, right. Mm.
And I think because of that, we're writing stories or we're starting stories that we don't have an outline of the ending to.
Yeah, that's deep.
You know, I think that's where we're starting to fall into.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you got to commend Cam for, you know, just a week ago he made those comments about Brock Purdy. And then he came back this week. He took some time to kind of take a deep breath and responded to Debo, you know, letting him know it wasn't me that text you. I did make those comments about your quarterback, but I still welcome the conversation, you know, and if you feel this way about me, I don't feel that way about you.
Yeah.
I'm still a fan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I still love you. We got to be able to have those conversations where you do take time and don't just rush to Twitter and let things rip, because they do have that rippling effect, hence, again, the reason why we are here today, because I was chilling. I thought I was about to ride into the new year. We was done taping shows. We missing Chan. Like, everybody was booked for other stuff.
Alicia made us work.
You know what I'm saying? And AZ was like, hey, look, we got an opportunity to do some stuff, man. But I want to say, bro, I have always been a fan. You know, I from afar, I've seen you run the ball.
Yeah,
I know you can
man.
Do that really well. I was a huge fan of Ballers.
Yeah.
You know, so you're very creative, you know, at your writing. And I was surprised to even hear that you wrote for Ballers, but that's pretty dope. And again, man, figure out how to disconnect. Mm. You know, just learn how to disconnect from social media, you know, because you got people that's gonna keep jigging at you, regardless, especially more now.
Yeah,
you know, Simone made a text or a tweet. She's like, y'all done? You know, and now people like, nah, we ain't done. We just getting started. Yeah. So those things got to pour fuel on the fire. I got it. When I check my Wikipedia, or I go and look at my stats and compare them against other people's stats. My nickname is Fragile Fred, and I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Because guess who got it last laugh?
Yeah.
Me.
Yes.
I played 13 years, and now somehow I'm an NFL Hall of Fame.
Man, bump that. You the hardest Fred. The hardest Fred. That's how I know. You the hardest Fred, G.
So it's all love.
It's the Freddie T question of the year. We're not gonna ask you about New Year's resolutions. We're gonna ask you, in your life, what has been your biggest pivot? What is the moment that you will point to as you go forward in 2024? Not that you're gonna do something different, but that's gonna help and propel you to be the best Rashard Mendenhall you've been in a long time.
Right away, it's clear. My biggest pivot, being here with you guys, and freedom. Freedom going into this new year from what I've allowed, you talk about disconnected, to kind of infiltrate, be a part of my ecosystem, in my world, in my life. Man, you've offered some perspective that I hadn't had. And even the freedom of you saying, like, you sorry, and that if you added anything, it's just like from that standpoint, from you saying, and I just had a Jim Brown moment. Mm. When you saying you a fan of me, it's just like, I know I have enough right here to not carry that negative narrative in my mind. And so literally being here on the pivot has allowed me to pivot to freedom and getting that tweet out. Like you said, if that was enough, then I'm gonna let that be enough.
I love that, man.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you, my boy.
Yeah, man, appreciate you.
Say, I'm really like sorry,
you,
man.
I'm like your Jim Brown.
No, man.
That's that'd be the one, man. For real, man. Appreciate you, brother.
That. So I'm really love. Like your Jim Brown, man.
What does it mean, man? Come on, man. You know who you is.
Hey, listen, bro. You still in the gym too? I see.
What's up?
You still hitting them weights, knocking them weights down. Nah, seriously though. From that point, just disconnect, bro, because you can't win them battles. So you just let that ride, man. No. Now you do have to find a way to make amends for that tweet, because it, you said it was selfish.
Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On the mission, got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. On the vision, I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up.